It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, go in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. It's conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. Congratulations to Aaron Rye as he wins the PGA Championship played at Aronimink Golf Club. He shoots a final total of 9 under par, 70, 69, 67, 65, 271. That 65, 5 under par in his final round helped him win the Wanamaker Trophy. John Rahm and Alex Smalley tied for second at 6 under par. Justin Thomas, Ludvig Åberg, Matty Schmid all tied at 4th at 5 under par. Here was Aaron Rye's response to a question of being the first Englishman to win the PGA Championship in over 100 years.
Wasn't actually aware of it until yesterday. I think in this room yesterday it was mentioned, which was the first of my knowledge. But yeah, extremely, extremely proud. There's a lot of incredible and historic English players over those 100 years who have gone on to achieve incredible things and had phenomenal careers. But to win this event and to be a person that's the first one to have won it in such a long time from England is an amazing thing and something to be extremely proud of.
Definitely something to be proud of. Here was Aaron on the course setup at Aronimink and that long birdie putt that he drained on 17.
Firstly, the golf course really demands it. It was a true major championship setup in terms of how difficult it was, how penalizing it was, but it also rewarded you for good play. So I think the nature of the course and the nature of the shots that are required over the last few holes just require a lot of attention and a lot of focus. That putt on 17 was incredible. Was just trying to focus on speed and get it close. It started to look really good line-wise with probably about 15 feet to go. Slowed up really nicely as well, so it just kind of conspired all together for that ball to go in the hole. But an incredible putt and a real bonus to see that one go in.
There weren't many long putts that went in the PGA Championship, but Aaron Rye will always remember that putt on number 17. In fact, his wife was right there watching. Here he is talking about his wife and how good of a player she is and what she said to him on the way to the hotel Saturday after his round that kind of kept coming back to his mind during his round on Sunday. And then that is followed by Aaron Rye on the support he gets from his parents and what they mean to him.
She's been incredible. I'm not exaggerating when I say that I wouldn't be here without her. Both as a companion, as a friend, as someone I'm sharing my life with, but also as a real support system for my game. She's a professional golfer herself. So her mindset, her advice, her thoughts when she looks at whether that's technique, whether that's the way I'm holding myself, are absolutely invaluable. She encompasses so many different sides in her opinions. And we even had a conversation yesterday for probably 30 minutes in the car just before we got back to the hotel, just speaking a little bit about today. And again, some of the things that she mentioned in the conversations were really with me today. So, I really wouldn't be here without her. It's probably hard for me to really express everything that I feel towards them. I think I'll get way too emotional to speak. But starting with my dad, he was with me every day that I went to practice from the age of 4 or 5 years old. He actually quit his job and started to focus on my golf from a really young age. Used to read a lot about golf. I used to obviously be very active in everything that he did with me around the game. My mom has been absolutely incredible as well. She works extremely long hours to just provide for the house, really, especially with my dad also not working as much, so she did a lot of things, and her support has been phenomenal. And obviously I would love to share this with them. It'd be amazing if they were here, but I can't put into words how much they've done in terms of the support, in terms of the care, in terms of love. And again, I wouldn't be here without them at all.
Erin Rye, the first PGA Championship winner from England since 1919. Jim Barnes won it that year. That was his second PGA Championship. He won in 1916 as well. Jim Barnes won the U.S. Open by 9 strokes in 1921 and the 1925 Open Championship at Prestwick. In addition to his 4 major titles, Barnes won 17 times on the PGA Tour, was elected to the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1989. Erin Rye did something that Nick Faldo never did, Colin Montgomery never did, Lee Westwood never did, Matt Fitzpatrick hasn't done yet, Luke Donald and Justin Rose haven't won a PGA Championship, but Erin Rye gets his first major at Aronimink Golf Club. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, I sit down with Rob Bradley, the head coach of the University of South Carolina men's golf team. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
This is Justin Akery. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success. Not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to another edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Trey Schapp. Rod Bradley led the Purdue University men's golf program to 9 NCAA regionals and 4 NCAA championship appearances in 11 seasons from 2013 to 2024. He was named head men's golf coach at the University of South Carolina on June 11th of 2024. In his second season as the head coach of the Gamecocks, in his first season at South Carolina, the team made its return to the NCAA championship for the first time since 2019. After they placed 5th at the NCAA Bremerton Regional. South Carolina made the Columbus Regional this year, but did not advance to the championships in Carlsbad, California. I had a chance to sit down with Rob Bradley at the SEC Men's Golf Championships earlier this year. On the tee, Rob Bradley.
Coach Bradley, do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club and fell in love with this game?
I mean, I don't know that I remember it, but I got started, you know, in golf really young. My dad had me late and retired, you know, when I was 3 or 4 years old. And, you know, I got started playing golf with him. So it was pretty young, 3 or 4 years old, probably.
Did you play in high school, and then I saw you played at North Carolina, so obviously you played at high school, but when did you start really playing to compete at it? Do you remember?
I started competing probably, you know, eighth grade, I would say, to where I was playing pretty, you know, high-level competitive golf, eighth grade and then into high school, you know, all throughout the state of New Jersey, and then, you know, continued on to play AJGA and, you know, whatnot.
Went to North Carolina. How did you end up there?
Just went through the recruiting process. Devin Brouse watched me play, I think, at, you know, one of the AJGA events. And back then we'd kind of do five official visits and, you know, chose North Carolina as one of my official visits and really loved the place. Went there with, you know, one of my real good friends, Lee McEntee from the AJGA. I think he was player of the year that year. So we were going in as freshmen and both, you know, great friends, and worked out awesome.
Findlay Golf Course, not a bad place to practice, huh?
Not a bad place. Back when I was there, it wasn't nearly as nice as those boys have it now. But
I don't think anybody has it as good as it is now back in the day. I mean, you look at some of the facilities around now. Alabama just opened up a new multi-million dollar facility. South Carolina's got a good one where you are now. Purdue has a good one where you were. Arkansas's got the blessings. Everybody's trying to outdo everybody else.
That's what it seems like now. It's just, you know, outdoing everybody else, and the facilities are just getting better and better. I mean, I look at the practice facility we have at South Carolina, and I just can't believe the money that we spend to maintain it and the condition that it's in and day out. It's pretty spectacular.
You turned professional. Was that a goal of yours when you went into college, that, okay, I want to play well enough to where I can turn professional and try to make it?
Yeah, it was really all I thought that I would ever do, honestly, is play professional golf. I loved it and was playing really well, and you know, that was my goal forever, you know, while I was at school at North Carolina, and then, you know, going, as soon as I finished school, it was kind of right out there, and held on to it for as long as I could have, and then eventually kind of backed into coaching a little bit. But yeah, it was fun. I still wouldn't trade it for anything.
What do you remember about the time out there on the tour? Was it chasing something, just trying to make it and chase that tour card, if you will?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, loving golf and competing, you know, and just the ups and downs. I think you kind of just have to embrace it. There's so many highs and so many lows in golf, and just being, you know, and able to brace that, and it was fun.
You were an assistant coach at Alabama when they won the championship in 2013. Pretty good team.
Incredible team.
Justin Thomas, one of the stars of that team. What do you remember about him?
I mean, just the competitors that we had on that team, really top to bottom. I mean, you know, Justin and Corey Whitsitt and Bobby Wyatt, Trey Mullinax, Scott Strohmeyer. I mean, just incredible competitors. So much fun being around those guys day in and day out. And watching them compete, yeah, it was really special.
I remember watching some of them compete at the Western Amateur at the Elotion Club in West Little Rock, well, West Pulaski County outside of Little Rock, and Bobby Wyatt, the Trey Mullinax. I mean, just names that you thought, okay, they're going to go on to do big things. Justin Thomas, multi-time major champion. Did you see that in him?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, the kid's a dog. You could just tell that. He had big things ahead of him. He just wasn't scared of any moment. And when the chips were on the line, you always knew that he was going to show up.
After that year, you left. You became the head coach at Purdue University. What went into that decision to leave and accept that head coaching job in the Big Ten?
It was, you know, it was a tough decision. I think, you know, being with Coach Sewell, I learned so much from him, and I knew we were going to have a really good team, you know, the following year. And I just think the opportunity to go and see how I could do as a head coach. And I felt like Purdue was a place that, you know, had amazing facilities, two really good golf courses right on campus. And it was like, hey, this is a spot that we can do well, and great place to raise a family and all of that. So, that, you know, there was a lot of things that went into it, but ultimately it was, you know, it was the best decision of my life. I mean, I loved it there.
Yeah, you did do well there. You took them to several NCAA championships, not just regionals, but championships, and hosted on the home course. That has to be nice when you're hosting on your home course, although a lot of pressure to do well, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, but it was a great place to host on. It's such a great golf course, but it's visually demanding and tough, and, you know, being able to play there, you know, in order to prepare and stuff is a pretty big home field advantage.
Austin Oaf was committed when you got the job, but I'm sure you had to do a little discussion and talking to him to make sure that he was still committed to Purdue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did. But he was, I think, you know, looking back on it, I don't know that he had a ton of offers, but obviously that was shocking to me, you know, when I saw him play when I got there, because, I mean, he had the lowest stroke average of any player in the history at Purdue, and was an unbelievable competitor and hard worker, and he was great for our team.
I've competed against him in amateur events in the state of Arkansas, the Arkansas State Golf Association. I've had my butt kicked by him plenty of times. I thought he could really go on and make it on the tour, but he decided to go a different route.
Yeah, I think we would get back from tournaments and it'd be, you know, 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and he would go into the hitting bays and put the doors up in the hitting bay and start hitting balls. And, you know, ultimately, I think really put so much pressure on himself and was so hard on himself about golf that I think he actually maybe towards the end of his career realized, like, I don't know if I can sustain, you know, this day in and day out with all of the pressure and anxiety and everything from, you know, what he expected of himself. And I just think that, you know, he decided, you know, eventually, hey, I'm just going to get into coaching.
See, it is a grind to try and make it. I mean, you're proof of that.
It is an absolute grind. Like, I respect everybody that goes and tries to do it. You know, there's part of me that thinks too many people go try because it is such a grind. But also, you know, I think at the end of the day, you got to give yourself a chance and see if you can make it happen.
He graduated from Purdue. You brought him onto your staff. What did you see in him that made you think that he was the right fit to be an assistant?
I mean, I just know that he is such a competitor. I mean, he's already proved that, you know, in coaching. Anywhere that he's been, you know, he's been really successful, and you know, the guy loves to win, and I think that he sacrifices, you know, in other areas of his life in order just to be good at something, and I think that's what it takes anywhere, you know, whether it's playing, whether it's coaching, you know, just really being able to put the time in, and, you know, he certainly does that for sure.
You were head coach at Purdue, you spent several seasons there, and then the job at South Carolina comes open, you apply, Ray Tanner, their AD, offers you the job. Was it a tough decision to leave West Lafayette for Columbia?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I loved it there. They were really good to me there. You know, my first head coaching job, both of my kids graduated from Purdue. My daughter married an Indiana guy. She still lives in West Lafayette. You know, there were a lot of things, you know, that I was so drawn to there. You know, I think ultimately for me it was about, you know, the competitiveness of the SEC and, you know, being able to, you know, kind of recruit anybody being in the SEC and feeling like, hey, I'm, you know, 50 years old and would love to win another, you know, national championship as a head coach. And I think, you know, South Carolina provides that opportunity maybe a little more than Purdue. So, you know, that was the deciding factor for me, but great place. Absolutely loved it.
Coach, what is it about SEC golf, or is it just the SEC mystique that every sport, no matter what it is going to be towards the top in the country?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's, you know, a little bit, the weather's obviously a big deal. I mean, living 11 plus years in Indiana, you know, the winters can get tough. And, you know, I think that, you know, it happened a lot of times in the recruiting process, you know, where kids would say, hey, man, you know, I love it here, but just if the weather was a little better, you know, I'm just not okay with being inside all winter long. So, you know, I think that was something that even, you know, I got a little tired of, I would say, over the years. And it's a little nice being in a little better weather in the wintertime and being able to get after it year round.
There's a real notable alum of University of South Carolina that loves to play the game of golf. You might know where I'm going. Darius Rucker. Any relationship between the two of you, and have you played with him?
You know, I've texted with him a little bit, have never played with him. He, you know, he does a lot for college golf. He's hosted the Hootie event that we host, and he's also a big sponsor now of the Darius Rucker event, you know, in that our women's coach, Kaylin Anderson, that she hosts. And so he does a lot for South Carolina and a lot for, you know, the golf programs. I have not played golf with him yet, though.
Maybe it's in the cards at some point. Yeah. I understand he takes his clubs to every place he goes. I mean, when he's on tour, they're underneath the bus, and he's playing golf that day before he sings that night.
Yeah, huge, huge golfer from what I understand, and I think a member out at Bulls Bay and probably some different spots in South Carolina. But he just did our spring, the little spring fest that where they used to have the spring football game. He came back and did a concert, and so he's, you know, he's definitely he's around a lot, and I hope I do get the opportunity to play with him sometime. My wife is definitely a huge fan of his music and all that. So
I am too. My wife is too. Yeah.
I think I am as well.
A lot of people are.
Yeah.
Your coaching tree. I mean, a lot of your assistants have moved on to be head coaches, and even you're coaching against them in the SEC.
Yeah. I've been really lucky. I mean, I think along the way, you know, in coaching and anything in life, you need to, you know, be the people that, you know, I think luck is part of it anytime. You know, I've had great assistant coaches, you know, and I think that that's helped me get to where I am. And I think it's also hopefully, you know, some of the things that I've taught them have helped them get to where they are. But yeah, it's fun having, you know, Jake here this week as the coach at LSU and, you know, Mitch at College of Charleston, they've done really well. Austin's done really well. He really got Central Arkansas turned around pretty fast. And then now at Little Rock, you know, he's doing a great job there. And then, you know, Andrew Sapp at Purdue was the head coach there now, but he was also my assistant coach in college when I was at North Carolina. He's just a little bit older than me, but we have a great relationship and he'll do really well at Purdue. And also lucky that he hired my son. My son is now the assistant coach at Purdue working for him. So yeah, that it is, it's fun having the coaching tree, but those guys really, you know, did a lot for me in my career. So
kind of a full circle moment, right? For you and your family.
For sure. He, you know, he played on the team at Purdue. And you know, now to be an assistant there, he loves it and he's really enjoying coaching. And it's going to be fun to kind of follow his career and see where he ends up as well.
So you're a Tar Heel in college. Now you're a Gamecock. Those two don't go together.
That's right. I'm officially a Gamecock now. I've been good at kind of embracing wherever I'm at, but I love South Carolina. It's been a great place, and I'm so excited that, you know, I did take this opportunity, and it's been a lot of fun.
What is the recruiting pitch when you're out there trying to find the next player, the next maybe possible individual champion of the NCAA, or the best player you can find? What is the recruiting pitch that you tell them to try and get them to choose the University of South Carolina?
I mean, it's just a great school. You know, we have being in the SEC is obviously a really big deal. We have great football. Everybody always enjoys that. Coach Beamer is an awesome guy. We have great practice facilities. You know, I feel like personally, you know, I've been around a lot of really good players throughout my career, whether it's playing or coaching. I still kind of work with Adam Shank, who's on the PGA Tour. We've had a great relationship. And so, you know, I'm around high-level golf a lot, and I feel like I can help, you know, get people to that next level.
What is it? Do you see something? I mean, you have to have a talent, because not everybody can watch someone hit a golf ball and be like, okay, you need to try to do this, because every swing is different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, what any coach is looking to do is just how can we, you know, help each given player, you know, make the most out of their ability and be able to get to that next level. So I really enjoy it. It's kind of why, you know, why I'm in coaching. I love the recruiting aspect, and, you know, kind of the player development aspect is what, you know, it's the only reason really that I do it. I love it.
Best golf course you've ever played?
That's a tough one. Actually, it's not really. Pine Valley. Yeah, Pine Valley in New Jersey is the best by far.
How far did you grow up from there?
I grew up about an hour and a half from there. I didn't think that I would ever get to play it, but I've been fortunate to be up there two or three times, and it's spectacular.
Being at the University of South Carolina, do you guys ever get to cross into the state of Georgia maybe once a year and go play Augusta National?
I would love to. I would love to. We haven't worked it out yet, but we're trying hard. So,
man, that would be something.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
I would say Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and probably my dad, who passed away when I was in high school. But
that would be cool.
Yeah.
The story's there.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be awesome. Coach, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Justin Akre. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. The PGA Championship this year at Aronimink Golf Club, what a nice golf course that was. If you want to get a look at where next year's PGA Championship will be held, you can watch the Jackson T. Stevens Cup coming up in September, September 14th through the 16th, PGA Frisco. In fact, you can actually go to the Jackson T. Stevens Cup if you would like. It will be the second time that the Jackson T. Stevens Cup will be played in the state of Texas. The first time was at Trinity Forest. PGA Frisco is where it will be played this year. Fields Ranch East, a Gil Hance design known for its natural contours, strategic bunkering, and North Texas winds that could come into play over the 14th, 15th, and 16th of September there in PGA Frisco. We will be there along with the women's field that includes Stanford, Texas, Oregon, defending champion Wake Forest, South Carolina, and Florida State. On the men's side, it features a lot of teams from the state of Texas, Texas A&M, Houston, Rice, SMU, and the Utah Utes, one team from outside of the state of Texas. The Arkansas State Golf Association will host the 111th Arkansas State Amateur Championship at the Blessings Golf Club June 11th through the 13th. You can still try to qualify, but you have to get your entry into the ASGA by May 31st. You will have to qualify. Eligibility is open to male and female amateur golfers who are individual members of the ASGA. Non-residents are not eligible except those residing in Texarkana, Texas, but you must be a member of Texarkana Country Club, a USGA handicap of 7 or less for men and 12.2 or less for women is required. You must meet all requirements by Sunday, May 31st. If you have any questions, call John Jardine, ASGA Tournament Director, at 501-455-2742, or you can find more information on their website, asga.org. Real quick, congratulations to the University of Arkansas men's golf team and Arkansas State men's golf team. They advanced to the NCAA championships at Omni La Costa Resort and Spa in Carlsbad, California. Unfortunately, UAPB and the Little Rock golf teams did not make it out of regional play. That's it for this edition of From the Short Grass. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You have been listening to From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.